Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm so excited. Another fun afternoon talking with some amazing guests. We just have really fun chat that's going to go on this afternoon. Now, my first guest, I am really over the moon about having on Valerie Wells. Valerie and I met at a creative workshop conference that was held out at actually at American Patchwork and Quilting. And there we discovered that we both love fabric, like, you know, every quilter does. But not only that, that we really love doing things really different with fabric, and we've sort of kept connected over the years now through our blogs and at the trade show. And so Valerie's going to come on and tell us all about her creative life. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Pat.
This is really fun. We had a good time at that event, didn't we?
Oh, I had a blast. It was so much fun. It was very fun.
Great creative energy all around.
Yeah, I've never experienced anything like that or, you know, since either. And I thought, well, what a fun opportunity to get to go and experience all these people that you may not normally intermingle with. So it's kind of fun.
I agree. That was the best part, is that we got to hang out with designers for 2 days that, you know, weren't people that we normally worked with. So it was and learn how they work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, tell me a little bit, for people who haven't really met you yet, you know, you actually grew up in a quilt store. I mean, were you born in the quilt store, too? You know, did your mom make it to the hospital with you?
Yeah, well, she did. You know, she taught home ec, and so she did a lot of sewing before I was even around. Mm-hmm. And then when I was about, it was May before I turned, a little bit before I turned two, and she opened the Stitch and Post here in Sisters. And so I really haven't known anything different.
I can imagine. She probably brought you in to work every day.
Oh, yeah. I remember kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher would walk me across the busy street, and I'd walk about four blocks, and I learned how to count out change, and I helped customers. So. And cute factor help too when you're five.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I've actually been in shops where, you know, the kids are in their little bassinets up on the counter, you know, for it's amazing. But you know what? You are immensely creative, Valerie. You do a lot more than make quilts. You know, what part started off your creative life? I mean, was it like, you know, crayons, or, you know, what is your path that you ended up taking?
Well, you know, my mom tells me about when I was about three, I dumped all the baby powder out in the bathroom drawer and was drawing in it with my fingers. So have started off very early.
Yes.
She always tells me, you know, I couldn't get mad at you because you were being creative.
Right.
I remember taking, and this is probably like such a no-no. I mean, I've never let my kids do it now, but I remember taking the charcoal out of the fireplace and drawing. I think I've always kind of done stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with mom always making things, I mean, she never considered herself an artist until, I guess, would say recently. But because of the fabric and the color and design that was always in my house or at the store or whatever, and we have extremely creative community in Sisters, and so our schools are full of it. So I think that, you know, I kind of lived in it, and it became
And
just
for
a
people
part
who don't know, your mom is Jean Wells. So
yes, my mom is Jean Wells. Yeah.
Now you became a photographer along the way. Was that something that happened in high school for you?
It was actually junior high.
Wow.
Took my first photography class and learned how to use a darkroom and all that stuff. And then it just carried on through high school. And in high school, I took a couple college courses on it. And then I went to an actual fine arts college in Portland, Oregon, which ended up, you know, studying black and white photography. And because at this fine arts school, photography wasn't quite as much of an art as, like, painting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a ton of electives, so I ended up taking a lot of printmaking electives. So I got to learn how to do every type of printmaking technique you can imagine. And so I think in the long run, though, that was hugely beneficial to me. And rather than going to predominantly just a photography school, because I became much more well-rounded, I had to take 4 years of life drawing. And
oh,
I was
wow.
not
what is that?
Good. Well, it's when you sit in one of those big rooms, and in the center is the pedestal with the naked person on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 years of that, and I never once did it look like them. Always looked like their cousin. But I learned how to see, and that is something that I think is huge. You know, you learn how to see shape and line and texture and all of that just from being in classes like that.
Now, I know I could tell people, I'm looking at your blog right now, which is valeriewells.typepad.com, and, you know, Valerie could make weeds look good in a photograph. I mean, you really could. And you, do you set up compositions when you do your photography? I mean, this would be then, you know, what you would do in quilts too, but are you just sort of shooting what you see, or are you setting up scenery?
Well, you know, it really depends. I do lots of different things. I will set something up if I have a specific thing in mind. And then a lot of times I just carry my camera around. I mean, my purses are big because I always have a sketchbook and a camera.
Yeah.
And some sort of baby paraphernalia because right now we still have binkies and diapers. But, yeah, so I am constantly have that. So I think that over the years, I've realized how important it is to just be open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to always want to force finding something creative. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just a immaturity to a certain extent. You know, when you're younger, you want it so bad, and you tend to kind of force that creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think now as I'm older, I don't force it as much as I am open to everything. Does that make sense?
No. What would you recommend for people who, I mean, there's a lot of people interested in photography, and somebody who maybe has played around with taking photos, what would you suggest they do to have their photos help them with their quilting?
Well, I think, like, for me personally, when I shoot, sometimes, you know, when I'm in the city, I will shoot really cool graphic images, like the way buildings look and windows and other things like that. Now, graphic images like that, to me, create, you know, you take and you fit color into it, and all of a sudden you have a really cool modern quilt. You also, I look at textures and design elements for quilting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like you see a really pretty flower and you like the way the flower looks. That's a great quilting idea.
You know, I think that's a good point, because I'm not sure people are looking at the actual lines in their photo to say how you could translate that into your quilting.
Exactly. Exactly. Ooh. And I think that's, I think that is a huge one, as well as just the option of, I mean, you have so many things that you can capture in a photograph that then you can either draw, you can sketch, you can capture just color palettes in a photograph just from, you know, a bouquet of flowers, and you can use that palette to pick your fabrics, even if you're going to make it into a log cabin. It's about looking at the proportions of, if you like the way something looks, whether it's in a photograph that you've taken or maybe somebody else has taken, then you look at that picture, and if you like the color balance, then you do the same proportionate amounts of color, and you should get that same feel.
So that's a very good point.
Yeah, there's a ton of different options for people. You know, the thing is that's really great is that with phones, like, I swear, my iPhone's one of my favorite cameras.
And they're great, aren't they? They take good pictures.
Yeah, they take decent pictures, one, and it's on you all the time. You can easily grab something and, you know, later on utilize it, even if it's not, you know, a big, huge image that you're going to print out. But it's an opportunity to explore something. And that's what's so great about cameras and having one with you all the time.
Yeah, I try to take my camera. Of course, you know, like you said, the phone. Many people now have a camera on their phone. But I don't have an iPhone. But they do take the best pictures. So if people have it and haven't tried that yet, they should get it out. Take a few pictures.
Exactly. I think it's just one of the best options that we have out there right now.
Now, we're going to take a break here in about a minute. But before we do, are you the official photographer for the Sisters Quilt Show?
Well, that depends. I always go out first thing in the morning with mom, and we take pictures, and a ton of my pictures get used for publicity and stuff like that. But there's, you know, there's a lot of people that take pictures in town. I guess I'd be the official, but darn it, nobody pays me for it. So luckily I volunteer my time a lot. So, but that's good. I mean, it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing for our community, and it allows me, it's like my opportunity to be able to get away from the store and actually walk the show.
Right, to go out and do the photos in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's inevitable that I miss something. This year I missed a special exhibit that I really wanted to see, and I didn't remember about it until the end. So, you know, that happens, but yeah.
Well, we had your mom on. She told us some about the show, and on your blog right now, if people are listening and go look, you've got a lot of photos from the show.
Well, and I have a ton more to put on, so they will be coming soon. I just have to edit them all.
Yeah, I know. That takes a while, doesn't it?
It can.
We're going to take a little break, Valerie, and when we come back, we're going to talk about fabric and maybe some other few tips from you. So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We are here talking with designer and shop owner Valerie Wells from Sisters, Oregon. So, Valerie, you know, being a shop owner, this means you now have like a zillion and one hats that you wear because you design, you know, you're a creative person in other ways, and you run a store. How do you do it all?
Well, you know, one, you have key people in key places, as my mom always says. And we have an amazing staff at the Stitch and Post, and that helps out a lot. And then you just do what you can do in a day, and you have to be okay with that. And that's a huge mantra for myself.
I can imagine.
Especially little kids.
So, now, you still have small children, because you were saying earlier you're still carrying diapers around.
I do. Well, because he's two, and he's almost two, and then I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. So, yeah, they're little.
They're little. Are they shop babies? Have they been coming into the store like you did?
Yep. They before they started going to daycare, and I was still nursing everything. It sounds funny, but there's this little closet by my desk, and they would be in the closet sleeping, taking naps. So, yes. And now the great part is they do what I used to do, which is run through the rows of fabric, and mm-hmm. it's part of their life. And, you know, in my studio, they have drawers of fabric that they like to cut and pin together. Mm-hmm. And my six-year-old just got her first little sewing machine for her birthday, the little Hello Kitty sewing machine. It's so cute. So
I know. Don't you want those little machines? They are adorable.
And it runs really well. And she, my mom taught her to sew, which was great because it was kind of a fun bonding thing, grandma mm-hmm. and granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And she made bags for little drawstring bags for everybody. Just made bags. So
same
she had
bag,
a great
yes.
time.
Well, that's good. That's really good. Now, tell me about your fabric designing, because you were also a painter. And so what is your process to go about designing fabric?
Well, my process has definitely changed over the years. You know, I've been designing, since 98. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1998 was when my first started working with Quilters Only. And so I've been designing fabric for a really long time. And when I first started out, my photographs were the basis, and I would come up with a concept out of these photographs, but it then went to their design studio. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of collections, I decided that I wanted it to feel a little bit more like me, so I started doing the drawing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a couple of collections later, I'm with Free Spirit by then, and I decided that I did everything in repeat, and I wanted to paint. So I got some help from, we have a ton of artists in our community, and I had a friend who used gouache a lot, and he taught me how to paint, and as far as using that medium. And
what is that medium for people
gouache?
Like me who gouache don't know?
Gouache is like an opaque watercolor.
Oh, okay.
So it's a water-based, it's fluid like a watercolor, but it's more mm-hmm. opaque. And most textile designers, if they still paint, mm-hmm. they use a gouache.
Okay.
Unless they're wanting it to look like a watercolor, then they'll, you know, use watercolor.
Okay.
But I did that, and I did that for years and years and years. And it's only been the past 2 years that I have, out of frustration and knowing the need to use a computer as a tool mm-hmm. for myself, mm-hmm. I used to always be afraid of it. I'm like, I don't want it to look like it's computer generated, because mm-hmm. what to me is very special about my fabric is that I hand draw it.
Right.
And so now what I do is I hand draw everything, and I put them into black and white. So I use India ink, or I use black paint, mm-hmm. you know, on whiteboard, and then I will scan that into the computer mm-hmm. and then I will basically use the computer as my coloring tool, because I then can change to different palettes. I know exactly how it's going to look, rather than guessing before.
Yeah.
I would paint one colorway and then
yeah.
go, okay, in my head, I imagine that the blue one's going to look like this. And sometimes mm-hmm. it didn't. And so then you would have to have more strike-offs, and it would cost more money and time.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
by utilizing the computer as a tool for myself, I also have the ability to change sizes and, you know, really tweak it. And I found that it still has my hand-drawn look, mm-hmm. but I have even more control. And so now when I paint, I don't have to limit my painting to 18 colors. I can just paint mm-hmm. whatever I want to paint. And
mm-hmm.
that's very rewarding to me, because I tend to do paintings when I'm doing fabric collections, because they kind of bounce off each other and are inspired
yeah.
by each other.
That's, you know, it's really fascinating to hear how it has changed for you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
have made a massive change in how you do your work style.
I have. But, you know, I also, for myself personally, believe that mm-hmm. if I don't continue to grow and mm-hmm. find new challenges in mm-hmm. making my fabric more and more like me, and I'm changing all the time, that if I don't do that, I'm going to be bored, and then the mm-hmm. people who buy my fabric are going to get bored, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be just a trend. I want to have staying power, and for me that means that I have to push myself,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly trying to push myself and do something new, or, you know, try a different technique, or try and do something a little bit different, just so that I can Well, one, I don't know if I like mm-hmm. to suffer and go through a certain amount of frustration, but I think that that's part of it.
Well, it's a lot of work to put a collection together. It's a lot of thought, and you trying to visualize what people are going to use it for, besides doing something people will love and want to own. So it's amazing. Now, your quilts have also changed quite a bit, haven't they? Can you talk about that, your style?
Yeah.
Because you've made quilts for so long, too.
I have. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I made some doll blankets and stuff like that, but I never really... You know, it was always just something my mom did. And so I didn't really embrace making quilts till I was in my mid-20s. Mm. And I started off doing like a crazy patch technique, the stitch and flip.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was the beginning. And then I, you know, mom and I did a bunch of garden quilts, and a lot of those were more traditional patterns that then I took a play on with color and would rearrange. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, lately, I would say in the past, I don't know, 6 years, mm-hmm. I've found that most of the quilts that I'm making are quilts I'm making out of my fabric mm-hmm. for PR of some sort
right.
or another.
Promotion.
So I'm constantly trying.
Yeah, show yeah. people how to use it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm trying to reinvent and come up with new ways to get people excited about fabric and about quilting. And, you know, with my personal lifestyle getting busier over the past 6 years because mm-hmm. now I have little kids, mm-hmm. I would say that definitely has affected the way I quilt, because before that I used to make tons of New York beauties.
And yeah.
I don't
had,
do that
you
now.
You had more time, didn't you?
I did. And my mom's quilting has evolved a lot, and she does a lot of very contemporary quilting now, very graphic, very modern, very artsy. And she's very, I think I learn a lot from her just by watching that. And so I find myself really enjoying, if I'm going to make something that doesn't have to do with my fabric, I tend to go to simpler things like solids. And maybe it's because my stuff is so much mm-hmm. that sometimes I need a break and just use solids. So
yeah. Yeah, when you're working with a lot of pattern fabric over and over, particularly your own fabric, you get very close to it.
And it's and after a while, you're like, you know, I really don't like this right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
I want something else.
I need something new.
Yes. And I know, I was talking to Amy Butler on an interview, and she said the same thing. She goes, you're so personal with it.
Yeah.
You know it better than anybody else. And so.
Yeah, and the thing is you've known it for so long because. You know, like the fabric that I just turned in won't come out until next spring. Mm-hmm. But yet I was very intimately involved in the whole process of designing it. And now, you know, it's like I sent away my baby. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll come get sample yardage. And then by the time market comes around and it's ready to go to shops, I'm so tired of it because I've done everything with it. And then,
right.
you know, you get immersed into another collection, and then you come back around and you see that fabric and you go, oh, yeah, you know what? That was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's so, fun. It's like a surprise when you see mm-hmm. it, you know, months later come out.
Yeah, there's an ebb and flow. It's and I think that's probably with anybody who works intimately with their work, whether they're a painter or a quilter or, you know, whatever they do. I think that that happens. It's you go through these love-hate battles with them, and then in the long run, you usually love it. So.
You do. Yeah, I think you do, too. Do you have a tip for people who want to find a little bit of time when they have small children for their quilting?
You know, I think for me personally, what I do is I have my kids in my studio with me. I let them be up here. And when they are asleep and I have time, then I try to tackle something that isn't going to take me too long, so I have a certain amount of gratification in getting something done, because mm-hmm. I think that's the hard part. I mean, if I was to try and do a New York beauty and, you know, with my kids around, I'd maybe get one block done a month, you
yeah.
know? So I tend to, which is part of the reason why I think I design simpler quilts now to put together, mm-hmm. but yet still look more complex because of the
right.
fabric. Is because of time, and it's such a precious thing to all of us, but yet I don't want to miss out on time with my kids. So
right.
I like it when the whole family's hanging out up in my studio and I'm working on something. You know, cool. I mean, to me, that's very gratifying. And also because I don't want my kids to ever think, oh, mommy's always working and work mm-hmm. is bad. Mm-hmm. I don't want it ever to be a negative thing mm-hmm. because I do work a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the type of job you have, you would. And plus, you're in the store and everything. I just think mm-hmm. this is so great, Valerie. You have given people, I think, a real, you know, insight into how you get things done. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, this is, now we've been talking to Valerie Wells. You can go to her website, ValerieWells.com. Her blog is ValerieWellsTypePad.com. And you're also on Twitter, so people can find
mm-hmm.
you there.
And Facebook. And
yes.
Yes, I'm all connected. And now I'm working on getting a new website up. So I'm really excited for that. But that's a whole nother job, let me tell you. It takes forever to do one of those.
Oh, yeah. That's another job. Well, this has been so wonderful talking to you. I'm so glad you could come on.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I've had a blast, and I've heard such great things, so thank you.
Thank you. This has been Chatting with Valerie Wells. We're going to take another little break, and then we'll be right back with American Patchwork Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now, the second half of the show, I have got some really, really fun guests, and we are going to talk Janiacs. Do you know what Janiacs are? Do you know what a DJer is? Are you a plain Jane, maybe? Well, if you're not familiar with those terms, then let me get you, you know, caught up, because the Dear Jane quilt, which is an antique quilt made by Jane Stickle, is like a phenomena out there in the quilt world. If you've been quilting more than a year, you've probably heard about the Dear Jane quilt. Now, American Patchwork and Quilting's October 2011 issue has an article about Dear Jane quilts, and the article is called Anything But Plain Jane, because we have interviewed two gals that are making Jane history, I think. They're out there teaching the world to make Dear Jane quilts. And so, and they're going to be here with me in 1 second. I have got quilt teachers Diane Rohde Schneck and Judy Donais. Now, I've probably said that wrong, but it's close. So they are a little bit obsessed with the Jane Stickle quilt, and they are here. Hi, Diane and Judy.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Okay, so this is really fun. Now, did I tell you yet that I actually have a Dear Jane in progress? Because, you know, note the word progress.
We hear that a lot, but yes, you did.
Okay. And, you know, I learned from, you know, the Dear Jane quilt is an antique quilt. And it was made in, 1863, right?
1863, signed and dated.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And
during the Civil War, in a little town in Vermont called Shaftesbury.
Mm. I think it's just a phenomenon. People can go to the DearJane.com website, which Brenda Papadakis, an author, went out and documented the quilt by, you know, drawing all the blocks into a book. And it has since has, you know, multiple, cause it's been in print for, I don't know, I'm looking at her website, 15 years. And it's just an amazing book to get to do all these little blocks. Now, first, tell me, why don't you know, Diane and Judy, you are instructors at the City Quilter in New York City, right downtown, right?
Yes.
And have you both, you know, how did you meet? Did you meet in the quilt shop?
We met in another quilt shop a long time ago. I worked in a quilt shop downtown in Soho, and I didn't know who Judy was. She used to come in just about every Friday afternoon and bother us about buying black and white fabric. And that seemed to be all she bought. And we didn't know her name. We called her the black and white lady. And then later on, I found out we were both members of the same guild. And then we started talking and hanging out.
And then we started teaching in another quilt store, which has since closed. Mm-hmm. And so we've been friends and teachers for a very long time. The City Quilter opened, and both of us came over here to teach. And so both of us have very different techniques that we love. And so when the Dear Jane quilt became available in the book, we decided that we had to teach it because it sort of spoke to both of our techniques that we loved. I love handwork. She loves hand applique. I like foundation piecing. It just sort of worked well together. And as Diane said, I coerced her into teaching this quilt.
Okay. Now let me have you explain, since the two of you have taught, I don't know, probably like a million quilters, at least a million and a half. Tell us the structure of the quilt for those people who aren't familiar with it, because there's blocks and there's triangles, right, and there's how many of what's
Diane,
going on with this quilt?
It's a sampler quilt, but it's the ultimate sampler quilt. There are 169 blocks. Mm-hmm. And let me think, 54 piece triangles and alternating plane triangles and four corner kite-shaped pieces. Mm-hmm. And I think there are something like 5,069 pieces in the whole quilt. Jane Stickle also wrote on her quilt, along with her signature, how many pieces were in it, too.
That's
so
amazing,
we
isn't
she
it?
Was a little
that she documented
too.
All that.
Yes. So it really turns out to be just the ultimate quilt. It has a little bit of everything in it.
The thing that makes it so interesting to me is that here's a woman who lived in a little town called Shaftesbury, which is about 10 miles above Bennington, Vermont, and she was living during the Civil War. She made it in 1863. There are no other quilts that we know of that was made by Jane, and when you look at the blocks that are in this quilt, there are very few that are traditional blocks that are recognizable as traditional blocks. So many of them must have come out of this woman's head. And when you think that here's this woman who is living on a farm and doesn't seem to have access to very much more than that, making up these blocks, setting blocks and drafting them into a very long triangular shape for the triangles that are on the edges.
Yeah, and they're amazing.
It just is an amazing quilt. Plus, aside from her obvious obsessiveness in counting the numbers, she also set the colors of this quilt in a trip around the world setting so that the center block is one color. And if you describe a diamond around the center one, those are the same color. And it keeps on going out like a sunshine and shadow, like the kinds of quilt that the Amish like to make. Her color scheme is that way as well. So here's a woman who's amazing. I'm just amazing. And
I need to ask you first here. Do you both have you both made one of these?
We made one together.
So we made our quilt together.
You made
your
quilt together.
We were thinking about this earlier because a lot of people start making the quilt because they must have this quilt.
Right.
We never had that approach. We always thought of it as something we approached it as teachers. We will teach anything. And we just thought of it as something that would be a great project to teach. So we've just made the one quilt together,
I did start another one.
Oh,
but,
True Confessions.
I think I have about 50 blocks, and I've worked on it for about 10 years, maybe more than 10 years. So it's not happening anytime soon.
So the blog, the quilt that you did is in the in our article, and it is like as far removed from the original Civil War fabric quilt that Jane Stickle did. Describe your dual version or your joint version.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. What we did was we went to the shelves in the shop and we found a fabric that had practically every color but black in it. And the colors that were in it were extremely saturated colors. They were really, really bright because we love bright colors. We are color people. We just go for the brightest colors we can get a hold of.
Bright so girls.
This was, right. Mm-hmm. So this particular fabric was our inspiration fabric, and we each got pieces of it. And that was what we used to draw our fabrics from. So any fabric that we used had to have some meaning within this one piece of fabric.
Oh, okay.
And we divided up the fabric, the blocks, so that we each made a certain number of blocks. Diane swears she gave me the hardest ones to
do. I definitely did. And she will always say that she did more than I did.
That's true. I did many more blocks than she did, but she did all the triangles and she did all the quilting.
That's true.
Ah. And that quilt would never be quilted if I had to quilt it. So
it's quite stunning. Does it hang in the City Quilter shop where you
sometimes
teach?
Sometimes. Most of the time it just lives here. It lives in a little
purple bag
in the basement of the shop. And we love having it here because we can always drag it out when we have visitors from out of town who are Dear Jane people.
Oh, yeah.
Come into the shop and they want to see it because they've seen it in several venues, and we drag it out from its little purple bag.
It has a life of its own. It's traveled to way more shows than we've ever been to. It goes all over the place
and
without us.
Right, anybody
without
who's
you,
in,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why do you think people are obsessed with this quilt? What is your opinion since you have met so many people obsessed with the quilt?
Well, I would say there are a lot of people who like it because it has historical meaning. It's a Civil War quilt. It's a it's an amazing quilt to do in reproduction fabrics. Mm-hmm. Out of all of our students, we've had I think about 4 people who have done it in reproduction fabrics. But I know it's a big thing everywhere else in the country.
Right.
We tend to attract a certain kind of student, I think, and they just feed into that obsession. So we have actually recommended it to people that we think will do well in this class.
You've made Dear Jane people, have you? You've told
we
them.
Have.
You really
oh,
need
we
to
have.
Make this
and
quilt.
In fact, the woman who's made the most quilts ever, and there are many of her quilts in the, there are some in the magazine and there are some on the website, is Pam Leonard Wexler. And I believe I invited her to join Dear Jane, and when we counted her quilts and quilts in progress, I think it was somewhere in the 40s.
Oh my goodness!
Now she hasn't made the whole quilt as it exists, but she's probably made all the blocks many, many times over. She makes a lot of little variations.
Have either of you joined? I mean, because there's a massive internet community, which is how I started with it, because I took the class with Brenda Papadakis in Gettysburg, no less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there used to be a little quilt shop in Gettysburg, and that's where I took it. And her internet was already sort of, and this was a long time ago, like maybe 12 years ago or so.
You were on the Dear Jane list, right?
Yeah, that was on the Dear Jane list.
So.
Way back, and so that was a lot of fun. Now, do you still participate in that venue with the internet group?
I do. Judy never has.
Okay.
I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I don't do anything other than what word?
Other than play word games, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
No, I do. I have been on the Dear Jane list since I met Brenda at a conference in Nebraska in 1999 when we were starting our quilt, and that's one of the reasons that I got into it. Because I was a real hard sell on it at first. And her enthusiasm and her students' enthusiasm just convinced me. And then I joined the Dear Jane list. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as active as I used to be, but I have some excellent friends that I've met through the Dear Jane list. And I go to the retreats twice a year when I can in Shipshawana.
Ah.
And they are wonderful people.
Oh, it's an awesome community. Just an awesome
it is.
Community. Now, we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about techniques with you guys, and then about some other things you do besides Dear Jane, because I know you have another part of your life out there. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're here talking with two teachers from the City Quilter Quilt Shop who are Janie Axe, who teach the Dear Jane quilt. We have Diane Rody Schneck and Judy Donias. Did I say that right, Judy?
It's Donias, but I don't mind. Everybody calls me
Donias.
Other names.
There we go. Now, I wrote it phonetically, and you know, it makes more sense when you say it. So we've been talking about the Dear Jane, and you teach this class. You just teach it in the City Quilter, which is in New York City downtown near the Fashion Institute. I got to go there in March. Do you teach it rotating or like twice a year? Or?
Well, it's always on our schedule, and we teach it in monthly segments. And there are four monthly segments to each semester so that we get it three times a year so that it goes continuously through the year. And
okay.
When we first started teaching it, we used to teach it six times. We'd have a morning and evening class three times a week.
Holy cow. How many people were in each class?
12. But now
wow.
It's been reduced down to four. So now we have 48 students enrolled in the current upcoming one that's going to be starting in September, this month actually, and their class is completely full. All four sessions are completely full. Now that doesn't mean all new students, because what
right.
we do is we have these people who have been with us for years who keep on coming back to finish the quilt, and so we have some new students and a lot of old returning students.
Okay. Now, You and I, the three of us have chatted back and forth by email about techniques and things like that. So I know that the two of you are very diverse in your interests and techniques. And so when you're teaching as a pair.
We alternate.
Oh, you alternate. Okay.
I, Judy, teach the first class, and that's hand piecing. Diane teaches hand applique the second month. Then the third month is foundation piecing. And then the fourth month, Diane goes back and teaches curve piecing. And then with the students who are returning, they can do pretty much whatever they want, and they use us as a resource. So since both of us are in the classroom most of the time, the teacher is actually teaching the technique to the new people, while the other one is there to help the other people on any problems that they may have on any of the blocks that they're doing. And they don't have to follow what we're teaching the new people. They can do whatever technique they want.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Judy, tell me first what your favorite techniques are for teaching the Dear Jane.
Well, I love hand piecing. That's what I teach regularly in the shop. I'm the hand piecing teacher here, so I teach that. And, of course, Jane hand pieced her entire quilt, so I love the fact that she did, and so that I can introduce that as the first technique. And I love foundation piecing. And so that I've done a lot of foundation piecing and also introduced a few new techniques in foundation piecing that I've come up with just for the Dear Jane quilt.
Ah, because you've done it so much, huh?
Yeah. That's
true. So, Diane, what are your favorites?
Well, I'm the hand applique teacher here in the store. So that's what I concentrate on. And I'm a big proponent of there's a fairly new technique in applique called back basting. And I will not be satisfied until everyone in America who appliques is a fanatic about it, because it's just it's the best applique technique to ever come down the pike. There have been so many of them, and this one just works for everything, and it works really well for little pieces and complicated pieces. So it's, now, it's just ideal.
The two of you can sometimes, I hear, tell somebody two entirely different ways to make the same block. Is this
most
true?
Of the time? Oh, yes. Oh,
most
yes.
Most of the time.
Because, you know, this is
the
called
time.
The Diane and Judy Show. what I love is the fact that both of us approach a lot of what we do in different ways. And what it shows our students is that there's not just one way to do something.
There never is in the world. There are so many techniques and so many teachers that it's just they really do have to come to their own conclusions about what works the best for them, or they have to think about it and come up with their own unique answer, because there could be an answer that we haven't thought of either.
Well, then that's true, because somebody's I teach a lot also on the road and everything, and you run into somebody who says, "Well, I've always done it this way."
Yeah,
and it's like,
right.
"Well, isn't that interesting?"
Well, I often get students that come to me and say, I've been doing quilting for a while, and I want to learn the right way. And my immediate approach is that there is no right way. You're probably doing it the way that works for you. And if it still works for you, that's fine. But if it doesn't, then I'm here to show you a different way.
Yeah,
basically,
that's a good way to say it. Because if it's not working for them, then there's a whole lot of other methods, aren't there?
Yes,
right.
There always are other methods. That's the thing.
I like that part. I like you guys.
Oh, thank you.
All about options. So, you know, what do the people who come into the store think about the people making the Dear Jane quilts that don't get it? You know, the ones that this would be never in their lifetime on their radar. You know, what kind of funny reactions have you gotten about that?
They always tell me that, you know, they took their quilt to like someplace on vacation or upstate or something, and they said, "Oh, you know about Dear Jane," and they'll come back and go, "They had no idea about Dear Jane. I couldn't believe it." So they can't believe that people still don't know about this.
And the people who scoff at our Dear Jane is they generally think that we make what they call dinky little stuff, which I've cleaned up for the radio audience. And they think that it's so picky that they don't want to get involved in it. And our people tend to tell them how different it really is and how much enjoyment they get out of doing it. You can make a block in a very, very short time. And then you never have to see that block again because you're on to another one. That's the beauty of this thing, you know.
Yeah, I like that part too. It's like there's no really, it doesn't get boring.
Never,
no, definitely
never.
Not. it's also, you know, I think people now concentrate a lot on instant gratification, and they want something done really, really quickly. This is not that kind of quilt.
Right.
I tell them to think about it. There's a whole slow cuisine movement where people make really laborious, amazing recipes. It's like that, except it's a quilt.
Yeah. I like food. I know. Somebody else wants to make the dinner. That'd be good.
Yeah, so, that would be it.
Now, you talked, you know, you have a life outside of this, and you have hobbies and things that you do. And when I asked you about one of your hobbies, you know, it cracked me up because you said you play word games. So explain what that is, the word games.
Diane, you can tell it because got me hooked in.
Well, we played word games on the computer in our downtime. And we started out with a game called Bookworm that someone here at the shop actually told us about. And then we moved on to another game called Text Twist. And now we're currently both obsessed with a game called What Word. And I can play it for hours and hours. Judy can seemingly play it for days and days. I've never gotten above level 35, and she's gotten to
169. That's my record.
So,
wow. Now, this is, you're playing this on the internet, right?
Yeah, and we're not competing with anyone.
No.
It's all our own thing, and we have to... What I have to do is I have to take a picture of my screen to prove to Diane that I've gotten up to 169, and then I show it to her, and I say, here, look, this is where I am. So bad. It's very meaningless, but very satisfying somehow.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised that you like it. It's just, you know, people who are doing the Dear Jane, maybe they all need a little extra hobby of word games
that are
out there. And now you all got to actually see the real quilt.
Several times. We love it. We love it. We sent you a picture of us in front of the real deal. And that was the only time that the quilt has actually been hung straight up and down in a very brightly lit room. Somebody must have told them that you have to keep it in a dim light. So now they hang it on a slant board in a dimmer lit room. And so we were really very lucky to see it.
Where did you see it at? The picture that I have on my blog today is of the two of you in front of it. Where was that
It's at the Bennington Museum. It is owned by the Bennington Museum in Bennington, Vermont. And hopefully it hasn't washed away with all the horror that's going on in Vermont at the moment. But they only take it out to show during the time of fall foliage. So it's usually mid-September coming up to mid-October. And when we go up there, we also go up to visit Jane in the cemetery. Now we're going to sound like crazy people, but we visit Jane in the cemetery, and then we go a little bit further north, and we go to the chocolate factory, and we eat chocolate.
Well, and then we have dinner at the diner.
Sounds perfect.
And it's like a pilgrimage. Yeah.
Yeah. So people can go to the Bennington Museum, or they can call and find out
it's also online. They can go online to the Bennington Museum, and they can find out when it's going to be shown.
Mm-hmm. It's probably better if they don't act like Janiacs there, though, because they do think we're nuts.
They just don't know, do they? They just don't know what they're missing.
They really don't believe us. It's just beyond.
And one little bit of trivia that you might want to tell people is that because Jane has become this incredible phenomenon, when Brenda went up to find Jane's grave, she found that the stone was all broken down, and all the people on her website actually contributed money so that the stone that's now on Jane's grave was put there because of the Janiacs. They paid for that stone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know? It really is. People who have never met the woman, not had and no relation to her whatsoever, other than the fact that they're doing her quilt, have now put a stone in the graveyard for both Jane and her husband, Walter.
Mm.
So it's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. Well, you know, girls, this has been just so fun. I appreciate it.
It has.
When I come to New York City next time, I'm going to come and visit you.
Please come for Dear Jane class.
Oh, I should. I'll have to coordinate it. Hopefully, maybe before the end of the year, I might come up there again. So
that would be terrific.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, so we've been talking to Diane and Judy. You can visit them at the City Quilter. And this has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. You can go to our website, allpeoplequilt.com, see our videos, see what's going on for next week, and come back. And I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.